Musings Podcast with Fairbairn and Russell. Hello and welcome to the Market Musings Podcast, where today on the podcast we're back talking Mode. We've had a couple of people from Mode Global Holdings on before, the CEO or Executive Chairman Jonathan Rowland and the Chief Product Officer Yanis Legler, and they were very interesting, weren't they, Kenny, to have a chat to. And we're very lucky to be joined again by someone from Mode, this time the Chief Commercial Officer, Rita Liu. So welcome, Rita. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Mark, how are you?
Yes, excellent. Thank you, Rita. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast and talking to us. And of course, we have Kenny joining us as usual.
Yep. You're welcome as always, Rita, onto our podcast. It's good. It's actually good to have some females on our podcast, because it seems to be a very male-dominated podcast at the moment. So I think you're actually the first of probably this year, Mark. Is that
the first
correct?
Of the year? Possibly. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So no, it's great to have you on. And where is your calling from today, anyway, Rita?
Sorry. Very much looking forward to the discussion. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good.
Yep. Good. And where is your base, Rita?
I'm based in London.
All right.
Yeah. So I joined Mode last year in March. So pretty much just right before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. So it has been like remote working since I joined.
Have you met the team in person yet or not?
Yes, actually, Before I joined, I knew and met most of the core members already.
Okay.
But, you know, as we grew quite a lot in the past year, there are definitely some new team members in the company I haven't met ever yet. Mm. But hopefully soon we'll meet face to face.
Yes, hopefully. It's been over a year since me and Kenny have seen each other, but I'm hoping in the next two months we can meet face to face. But this is one of the things we're living with these days, but hopefully not too far to go. So yeah, as you might be aware, the format of our podcast, very relaxed. We sort of hand over to you in the initial sort of moments of the podcast just to take us back as far as you'd like to go. We're very big believers, and a lot of people who listen are very big believers in it's the people behind the business, the people that make the business. And talking to Jonathan and, of course, Yanis as well, it seems very much like Jonathan really has, you know, put a good team in place, a good mix of people. From you know, quite diverse backgrounds, who are very, very skilled and knowledgeable. And I am very interested to follow the story of what's going on at Mode. So, I mean, if you're happy, we can sort of, you know, give the floor over to you, and you can take us back as far as you'd like to go, school or university, and just tell us a bit about you and your career, if you can.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So, first of all, I'm from China. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Southwest China, Sichuan province. As a little girl, I think I was always dreaming about going around the world. And you know, I had different how to say inspirations around like what I want to do when I grow up. But I think my career did take me all around the world, it turns out. I've been in fintech for more than 12 years now, I think. So in 2010, I joined Alipay, which back then was still part of Alibaba. It was, you know, looking back, I was very lucky to join at that time, because that was the years where e-commerce were generally digital economy, including fintech, was about to take off in China. As you know, right? So there are some very successful examples of fintech giant or tech giant coming up, you know, rising up from China in the past 10 years, Alibaba, Tencent included. So I was very lucky to join in 2010 with Alipay when, you know, everything was just going to explode from there. So I joined in the domestic business of Alipay, because back then there was no international business of Alipay yet. I was immediately involved in the project. I think still, you know, until today, I still think it's the most defining moment of defining innovation of fintech history in China. It basically, how to say, laid the foundation of, you know, what came after the mobile wallet, the super app boom, you know. And so I was involved in the project when I joined Alipay. And then in about 2011, the international business unit of Alipay was officially founded. And I was the initial founding members of the team. So that kicked off my world tour with Alipay. So I started with Asia, was looking into strategy and partnerships in Japan, South Korea, and then to some other emerging markets for the group, such as Russia, Brazil, and then on to Western Europe. We had, you know, I was involved in numerous, you know, partnership discussions and partnership deals. And then in 2014, I was relocated by the company to UK to formally start our European operation. Together with Alibaba, I grew the team from basically zero in Europe to six offices and more than 100 people. And more importantly, we grew Alipay's presence in Europe from zero to hundreds of thousands of merchants accepting Alipay as a payment solution provider for both online and also brick and mortar stores. So throughout that experience, I think I was very much involved in also the fintech boom in UK and Europe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I actually, you know, like the unicorns today, right? The big payment players that goes public or get acquired by some big giants, you know, recently in Europe, you know, those companies, I basically met their founders or worked with them like 10 years ago, since 10 years ago, right? So definitely I was lucky to experience the fintech boom in UK and Europe as well, due to my experience with Alipay, building their presence here in Europe. And then I was brought over to US and Canada to do the same thing, to basically build a business. And then back to London in 2019 to be the CEO of Alipay UK. So that was a wild journey with Alipay, basically, you know, like various geographies and various roles, various business areas. And so in 2020, I decided to leave because for me, again, so I love the company. I love Alibaba and Alipay because I think they're amazing companies and I learned a lot along the journey. But, you know, it just for me, I just wanted new challenges, maybe start with something small again. So I knew Jonathan for a long time before I joined. We are pretty aligned on what disruption we can bring or extra value we can bring to the market of the UK and in the future Europe, you know, like fintech market. Probably Jonathan talked about how he's inspired by some of the most successful examples of the super apps, you know, in other parts of the world, such as Alipay and WeChat Pay. And so we met each other through Alipay, right? So we are very aligned on, you know, like what we can do, you know, like, and also the concept behind a super app, what does it really mean? And what we can do in UK. So we're very aligned on that vision. And for me, this is something that really excites me. And, you know, because of some new technologies such as open banking and of course, crypto, I think that gives us an opportunity to build that disruption, to build that, what we call ecosystem that we want to bring to this market. Because I think the fintech market in the past years in UK has pretty much focused around challenger banks. which is great because it has brought like a much better customer experience, you know, of banking services to the market. But what we see is lacking here is the digital wallet model, you know, not so much a banking app model, a digital wallet model where the merchants and users are both sides have direct relationship with the wallet so that the wallet can really link different participants on the ecosystem really seamlessly. Mm. That's lacking in the market. And we were, very aligned on, you know, that's what we want to build. So that's how why I joined Moat. So I joined last March. So it has been just over a year. Mm-hmm. So I am, as you mentioned, Chief Commercial Officer, which basically is quite similar to Chief Revenue Officer. So basically overseeing business strategy, commercial strategy, and commercial partnerships as well, which is quite important for us now. At the same time, I'm also on the board. So since last year, it has been a great, journey. Mm. We've transitioned. We first of all repositioned the vision of the company from a pure crypto wallet or a crypto-centered wallet to a more your day to day super app, right? Your day to day payment / loyalty / crypto wallet. Mm-hmm. And we have been working on the transition of it. You know, how do we transition from the current offering to where we want to go, right, in terms of vision. And we're very excited that, you know, we will be able to launch the new solutions, payment solutions, which will complete our transition. And it will be coming soon. So we're all very excited about that.
Cool. Now, just on Alibaba and Alipay, just for people who perhaps aren't aware, what is that? Is it more something that's quite big? It's probably massive, isn't it? But forgive my ignorance here.
No problem. So Alibaba is a tech group, which under it, there's a e-commerce marketplace business, cloud business, and et cetera, right? Advertising business, digital, so marketing business. So it's public. I think when the group Alibaba Group went public in New York Stock Exchange back in 2013, that was the biggest IPO in history. Today, I think the valuation is about the company's about $400 billion. $400 billion. Mm-hmm. And so Alipay used to be just a payment tool for Alibaba's e-commerce marketplaces, which is basically a payment solution provider for mm-hmm. Alibaba. But starting from 2010, it transitioned to this basically a fintech group. It is by number the largest online payment platform in the world. The okay. number is much bigger than PayPal. Right. Of course, you know, partly because the massive a scale of a Chinese market, but at the same time, it has kicked off the global trend of a super app. You know, like okay. the word super app sort of came from China and Asia, right? So basically, with Alipay, you can pay for online store transactions. Pay for utility bills. You can pay for your transportations. You can invest your money. Mm. Actually, the money market fund Alipay launched was at the time the biggest money market fund in the world. It basically democratized, you know, how people can invest in money market fund. Alipay is a typical example of a super app, and it has like I don't have the latest number, but mm-hmm. I think the most recent number I remember is it serves around 1.3 billion people around the world.
Okay.
Some background for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I don't think I've ever transacted on that. I mean, you mentioned PayPal there. That's the one that obviously probably people in the West. Is Alipay more for the Asia market? Is that where it would be more known?
Yeah, so Alipay's consumer base is mostly in China.
Okay.
And some parts of Asia. In Europe, but in Europe, it has a big merchant presence. So in merchant acceptance. That is mainly to serve the cross-border payment demand. Chinese shopping from UK and European merchants. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So your average consumer wouldn't ever know they're interacting with it in the West, is what I mean.
So it's not, as a wallet, it's not offered to European yet. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now you mentioned there like fintech, and fintech's a phrase that, well, maybe you'll correct me, but I've only thought fintech's been around as a phrase for just a sort of recent, 3-4 years. But you think it's going back a lot further than that?
Oh, I think so. But of course, the word definitely got much hotter in recent years. But I think, and also the word has evolved a lot, right? The meaning behind it has evolved a lot, especially with the rise of the crypto industry.
Yeah.
I can expand on this. I think fintech traditionally, or actually until today, still some people understand it as, using technology to digitize how things are done, right? So how things are done in a traditional way. Let's say banking, right? So banking has a model, which is basically the spread of the interest rate, right? So fintech sort of came using technology or mobile technology, offering you a very easy to use app, changed how people interact with a banking service, but it doesn't change the model yet, right? It doesn't change the model. So in many ways, I think fintech has been sort of for people understand it as that, using technology to change, to optimize the experience of a traditional service. But I think in my view, fintech should be using technology to not just digitize how things are done, but change how things are done. So I think that's sort of my interpretation of fintech and where fintech should be going. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense for you to go and work in Mode, because obviously you've worked in China, Asia, London, Canada, the States. You must have a massive network of people within the sort of fintech banking industry.
Yeah, and also it has been amazing for me to see and experience the different sort of industry environment in different markets, and also second, how things are done in different markets, and third, the different cultural habits, right? Different consumer habits in different markets as well, and also the different regulatory environment in different markets as well. So, it has been amazing to experience the difference among different markets.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm looking at the Mode websites now, and the business arm. There's obviously key partnerships with WeChat and Alibaba, Alipay already. Was that something that you brought to the table with your connections?
Yeah, well, actually, that business was started by Jonathan before I joined already. So it's basically part of the business, which we now call Mode Global Services, which serves as a sort of merchant acquirer or payment gateway for Alipay and WeChat Pay to help them sort of to basically acquire merchants in UK to accept Alipay and WeChat Pay. So that's that has been part of the business of the group since almost day one.
Mm-hmm. And how do Mode actually go about approaching? Say it was a large franchise, and I'm just going to say, for instance, it was Subway, for instance. How would Mode as a business approach, a large franchise or a large brand like that?
Yeah, well, I think to talk about how Mode as a payment option or payment solution provider can be sort of will be accepted by big brands and big franchise, like you said. I think we need to take a step back and take a look at why Mode has a has a value proposition, right, for those brands. So as I mentioned, you know, like I think in my view, in today's world, in which, you know, like technology is booming and the new generations are digitally native, we should be using technology to change how things are done and to change the traditional model. So in terms of payment, basically what Mode is doing is to disrupt the payment space, right? So we know that card payment has been dominant in many markets, right? In UK and Europe, card payment is great. You know, like obviously lots of people use it, and the market has the infrastructure for it. Merchants have card machines, card terminals, and all that, right? So, but the challenge around card payment is because there are many participants or many players involved in the value chain. So basically with one card payment, you have card issuer, which is the bank issues the card to you. And then you have the card network, which is Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. And then you have card acquirers, right? Which is the merchant's bank who basically is the bank the merchants use to accept a payment. And then you have probably public payment gateways, and then you have the merchants, right? So you are looking at probably 4 to 5 players in the value chain, and every player is going to take some profit out of it, right?
Yeah.
So that's why card payment has always had this sort of controversy, which is, you know, it's expensive for merchants to accept a card payment, right? In Europe, actually, the European Union has been trying to control that. A few years ago, European Union basically put a cap on the interchange fee. Interchange fee is basically what the card scheme mandates the merchants need to pay, the acquiring bank needs to pay to the issuing bank, and which the fee will be passed on to the merchants, which ultimately will be passed on to the consumers, right? So European Union was capped the interchange fee, which helped lower the total cost for a merchant to accept a card payment, but still it's for, let's say, an SME, they're looking at probably 2% and up to accept a card payment, whether it's debit card or credit card. And for even smaller merchants, it can be up to 3%, right? So it's very expensive. And especially with also with the Brexit, I don't know if you've seen the news that the card schemes, I think MasterCard or Visa, I can't remember, announced that they were going to change the interchange fee back to the original level, which is up to 1%, right? And which ultimately will raise the total cost of payment processing for merchants to accept a card payment. So it has always had this sort of controversy in the market about card payment. But you know, with the introduction of open banking, which I think is a very forward-thinking technology, promoted by the regulators in UK and Europe. So it's basically opening up the banking infrastructure for authorize the third party to, with customer's consent, to basically get access to the money in user's bank account. And also the data in user's bank account. So what you can do with this is, so essentially authorize the third party such as Mode will be able to facilitate a bank account to bank account payment, which means in the payment scenario I just described, it will be the user who is paying, the user and then someone in the middle, maybe here in this case is Mode, and then the merchant's bank account. Then so the we cut out all the middlemen of, you know, like payment gateways, card acquirers, card issuers, card schemes. So it's the value chain becomes much more streamlined That's why the cost can be reduced massively for merchants to accept open banking backed bank account to bank account payment. So that's the disruption we're bringing to the market. And because on top of that, because it's a digital wallet based solution, authentication of a transaction, you know, with card, you use contactless, but with a digital wallet, you basically use biometric authentication, right? Your face ID, your fingerprint. It's much safer. That's why, you know, like we don't see, we see the rate of the fraud rate of mode wallet as a payment option will be very, very low. So basically we're bringing a cheaper and safer payment solution to the merchants. I'll stop here.
Yeah, I think as well as the payment's pretty much instant. I mean, I remember watching a documentary recently about some of these, I'll just say the name, somebody like Just Eat. Now they take the payment from myself, for instance, and then they hold on to that for several days before releasing the funds, you know, to the, you know, whatever restaurant you ordered the food from. So I guess from the retailer, they're getting the money instantly. They're not having to, you know, have a 4 or 5 day period of not having the funds rolling in. So that makes more sense for them as well.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think, you know, like we're also bringing together with the payment solution because, you know, like the wallet itself, so as probably you can tell now, we will have direct relationship with merchants and consumers from day one. So they have direct relationship with us. We don't need to go through all third-party payment schemes or another acquirer or anything. So the merchants and consumers have direct relationship with us from day one and on one platform. So so that means the data we can have access to, and also the data insight we can get from all this, you know, like consumer behaviors on our platform, we will be in a position to help the merchants target the right customers in a seamless way, much more easily for merchants to target the right customers through our platform. And because, you know, the wallet will essentially serve as, you know, a payment tool, and also the users will be able to get, you know, like directly get, you know, offers from the merchants directly through the app. The experience is seamless, right? I always use this example. It's for brick and mortar store. So today you go into a store. If you want to get points from that transaction, right, or if you have points to use, you probably take out your point card or the membership card from that store, right?
Yep.
And you swipe it or you tap it, and then you get the points, or you say you want to use these points. And then when you pay, you take out your Visa, MasterCard or your other card to pay, right? So it's like, it's for the consumers, it's a not very streamlined experience, but that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is, because, you know, all this, you know, the loyalty and payment is fragmented onto different platforms, no one sees the full picture of the consumer behavior. And it's, because it's the information and data is fragmented on different platforms. So with Mode, what will happen when we launch in-store payment next year is, you know, when you go into the store, even before you go into the store, you probably get a notification saying, oh, this store offers you, you know, when you walk nearby, you know, you'd get a notification saying this store is offering Mode user 10% discount. And then you go into the store, you scan a QR code, the offer and the payment is done in one go, right? And then we will be able to provide that whole holistic view of a consumer behavior to the merchants, you know, like this user. Actually, you know, like they are your loyal customer, right? You should target them more with better offers in the future, right? So that's the difference of you know, what a mobile wallet or a digital wallet can bring to the consumer experience.
And in terms of getting merchants on board with this, then, Rita, is that a case of almost knocking on doors, and do they actually have to sign up with you explicitly? Or because I'm just trying to think how, you know, does different merchants use different sort of settlement schemes, you know, like iZettle or SettleUp, those kind of things, and that's the kind of the service they use to take transactions through Visa, MasterCard, what have you. So do you know how it would actually sort of work on the ground?
Right. Yeah, very good question. So, it's early stage for us, you know, like in terms of merchant acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
But in the early stage, it is, you know, like you said, you know, knocking on the door, you know, just in a virtual way, yeah. And signing up them one by one. We started this effort end of last year. The feedback we've got from the market has been phenomenal.
Okay.
Because it's almost like a no-brainer for merchants. It's cheaper, it's safer, and it has the potential to have a more targeted loyalty program. So, but you know, starting from here, we are developing strategy for, you know, for example, for SMEs, you know, it will be very easy and self-serve sign-up process and portals platforms coming up later this year. So that's SMEs, we don't need to have sales people talking to them one by one. They would rather, they can easily come to our platform and sign up and switch mode on very quickly.
Okay.
So it's a combined strategy and also partnerships, right? So we are looking to partner with, for example, e-commerce platform providers, such as, you know, like, you know, the big names, you know, basically the platform who enables e-commerce merchants. We are looking to partner with them so that the merchants who are on those e-commerce platforms can, you know, easily access Mode as a payment provider. So it's a combined strategy for merchant acquisition.
Okay.
Yeah, you also get the added benefit of Bitcoin as loyalty points.
Oh, yes. Yes. So one thing quite interesting we're bringing to the mix is what we call Bitcoin cashback. So as you know, cashback has been a quite common sort of a loyalty tool that merchants use, right? You know, it has been around for many years. So what we are bringing here is we will be working with merchants and also cashback affiliate networks to basically offer cashback in Bitcoin for consumers. So As you know, the narrative around Bitcoin recently has been store of value, right? People want to store it. People want to basically hold on to it. So basically, what this means is every time a user pay with Mode, they get more Bitcoin, right? and they will be easily conveniently access those Bitcoin in a Mode wallet. Mm. And you know, the more they pay with Mode, the more Bitcoin they will accumulate. So that's what we're sort of bringing to the mix as well, linking the payment and crypto world.
Okay. Yeah.
When I open up my wallet and I've got it here, I must have about, I'm just going to count. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 loyalty cards for various different.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so it'd be good to get space back in my wallet, so it would get rid of them. And just have one central, you know, card, yeah, or bank account that, yeah, can do all that for me. Because you forget about them and you lose them, and you never end up using them at all. So yeah, if that can all be automated and, you know, and just deposited straight back into your bank account, and it's just seamless for the customer. Mm.
Yeah,
but that. Yeah.
Mark, please, sorry.
Yeah, I was a point I wanted to bring up, and Kenny sort of segued nicely, allowing me to come into that, because he said about his wallet, and you referred to the digital wallet. And I know, yeah, Jonathan was very sort of keen to say, we're not a bank. So, I was just trying to get that analogy of digital wallet. You know, why are you different from a bank or a challenger bank? But I think, mm-hmm, Kenny's just helped me to vision that by, you know, he's taking that, the physical wallet that someone has with multiple credit cards, multiple debit cards, multiple loyalty cards, and basically putting it into an app on the phone. Is that how you would sum it up?
Yeah, I think so. So, well, first of all, you know, like if you look at how challenger banks in UK have been operating or how they started, it's pretty much, you know, like how traditionally banks are sort of set up, let's say. So you offer the customer a current account, and then you issue a card on top of that, right? That's what Chandra banks in UK have been doing. So we're not doing that. We're first of all not issuing a card to our customers, and second, we are not doing. We are sort of payment method agnostic, let's say. So basically, behind Mode, there will be, you know, Bitcoin payment. You can pay with your Bitcoin, and then you can pay with your open banking backed, you know, bank account payment. So which will be in GBP. Yeah. So there will be different payment methods in the wallet. Maybe in the future we'll introduce other payment methods as well. For example, credit, right? Mm. So it's a difference for sure. And second, it's ultimately going to be both for online and for in store, right? So basically, it will replace your leather wallet, let's say. It would be a wallet. It would be just, you know, you just need to bring Mode, basically. You don't need to bring the loyalty point cards.
Sure.
And you don't need to bring even your payment card because you can pay with Mode as well, and you can get loyalty points through Mode with various merchants. So you only need to bring Mode.
Yeah. And understand if you can't, but I've got my Mode app on my phone. I have some money in there in the Bitcoin. Do you know when you will be able to sort of transact in it, or can you not really say at this point in time?
I cannot say it.
Okay, fine.
Those are a public company. But you know, as I've been saying on Twitter recently, you know, I know the market has been anxiously waiting for us for the launch of our new solution. It will be coming soon. Ask for the patience from our supporters. But it will be coming soon.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, I wonder. I kind of want to finish up, Kenny, if you're happy. Just want to talk sort of Bitcoin for a bit. Of course, you know, you set up a Mode account. You can buy the Bitcoin. You can put it in the Bitcoin jar and earn 1.5% a year, which is what I'm currently doing. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there about doing transactions of Bitcoin. What about, you know, you read a lot about the, I think people call them, like, is it gas fees? But certainly the transaction sort of speed or fee of Bitcoin. Does that concern you at all? Is that something that people should be, you know, that is on the mind? Or do you have a sort of plan to, you know, to for it not to be an issue?
No, I don't think, you know, from Mode we're concerned with that. Because you know, how to say, Bitcoin, the network, even though it's the biggest and earliest cryptocurrency or coin, it has been through a lot, right? And and went through lots of challenges, and still it's here and getting stronger. Mm. I think the network will, you know, there will be further, optimization.
Okay.
It's what we call, you know, battle tested, you know, through all these, you know, like cycles. So I think, you know, that's not as concerned. And we do believe, you know, like Bitcoin as the first sort of digitally native settlement currency or reserve currency, born purely out of the internet, is something that's definitely, you know, like it's something that, you know, we want to offer to our customers.
Okay.
Be involved with, yeah.
Okay, okay. And then what do you think about sort of the rest of the crypto market? I mean, you almost see different coins or tokens every day coming online, and there's a lot. And of course, you generally get this when there's a new sort of craze, a dot-com craze or a tulip mania craze. You get the bubble kind of forming, which ultimately will burst one day. But I mean, where do you kind of see that the general crypto market? Are you excited about it growing on, or do you think it's going to come back and focus just on Bitcoin? Where do you sort of think we are?
Yeah, well, first I would talk about the market. I think crypto markets, or generally the distributed ledger technology, is the most exciting technology of our time. It will change many things. It will change, you know, it is already changing, you know, like basically people's view on money, and it will change probably how financial services will be sort of run in the future. It definitely has the potential to do that, you know, with the rise of DeFi. I think, you know, it's a very exciting technology and a very exciting market. But of course, you know, with any new technology, there will be, you know, like, how to say, people taking advantage of it, and you know, there will be bad people, right? Just like in any industry, right? With fiat, with cash, there are bad people taking advantage of that too. So I think, you know, in the market, you know, we will see all kinds of, you know, like wild swings and you know, like volatility. But in the long run, I do think the market, the first of all, the technology is going to change the world, and second, the dynamic the market is bringing will change many industries. So that's for sure. That's how I feel about the market.
Okay.
And back to Mode, I think, you know, as you can see, we now only support Bitcoin because we do, you know, believe in it as a sort of a reserve currency or digital gold, right? For our consumers, for our customers. But you know, we're not saying no, right? We're not like, you know, saying we're not open to other possibilities, but we want to be prudent about it. And at the moment, the team is very focused on, you know, the payment solution, basically the first step of the transition of this very important transition. I can just say, you know, like the company is founded on the idea that we want to bring disruptive technology or take advantage of disruptive technology and create value, right? So anything that's along that line will be interested to create something. Mm-hmm. So I can just say, you know, down the road, there will be more and more exciting things coming from Mode.
Okay. Now I look forward to seeing what's coming from Mode. I wonder if, just thinking of our crypto listeners, and I'm not asking for any advice, never would do that, but what do you, people who are interested in sort of crypto and, you know, trading the different ones out there, is that something that you do, or do you think it's all just a bit or very speculative and very risky? What do you have any sort of thoughts on, you know, trading some of the coins?
Well, like you said, I cannot give any.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, you know, like with Mode, you know, like Mark, you're a customer. You probably definitely. I hope you think, you know, like Mode is quite an easy
yes,
way.
Yes.
Get started with crypto, right? A Bitcoin to start with. It's very easy to sign up. The US, the user experience is very smooth. So for anyone who's only starting, I think it's a very good place to start. And if you are, and obviously, you know, right now the functions are relatively, let's say simple. It's buy and invest, right? So it's for whoever wants to get onto this, get into this world, right? And I think, you know, this is important because, you know, the market is not only for seasoned traders or investors or, you know, people who are like full time on crypto trading, right? Mm. I think, you know, to make the pie bigger, to make the market bigger, to make more people understand, it's not a scam. It's not, it's actually something very exciting for our world. Mm. You need the general public to gain more understanding around it. And Mode, I think, is contributing to that progress, that, you know, like making Bitcoin more understandable to the general public.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Mark was probably referring to me there, Rita, so he was, because I kind of dabbled earlier on with Revolut, and now I'm doing a lot of bottom feeding in the crypto world and staking programs and liquidity pools and bits and pieces like that. But it's all part of the learning curve, and there is a few gems out there, but there's certainly a lot of scams as well. So it's you've definitely got to just dip one of your toes in before you put both feet in, and just learn a lot of what's going on, because there is people out there that are just don't care. So, but no, it's definitely a good entry point, you know, mode.
Yeah, it's a very good entry point. Yeah, I mean, I do sort of buy other cryptos as well, but I'm absolutely not an expert at all, and I do see it as a very risky thing, but it's also quite fun, you know, as well, because it's a bit crazy at the moment, I think.
Yeah. The current bull run has been definitely phenomenal, and all the conversations that's happening around it, right? Because of the bull market, I think, you know, since last year, you just see how much, you know, crypto in general is in the mainstream conversations, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, like before, like maybe just 2 years ago, you don't see it so often in mainstream media. And, you know, like you don't see like big banks talking about it, taking moves on it. So I think definitely since last year, it has been a phenomenal run for crypto.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great. Kenny, do you have any other thoughts or questions?
No, it's been great. I mean, that's almost about 50 minutes we've been talking. It's so it flies in. Once you start talking, time just disappears. So
yeah.
No, it's great to have another member of the MOD team on. And I'm sure you'll have other volunteers. Many board members is there in MOD? I've just about get through them all. I'm just having a look myself.
Well,
there's another two. Yeah. So there is. So maybe see if we can get a full set, a full house.
Yeah, we do have other three board members. Another one is who is a executive director, who's our COO. Maybe we can see. Maybe he will be interested to do one.
Yeah, that'd be great. Definitely, it's definitely worthwhile doing. And we find out how this team's been put together, because it's certainly an interesting collection of people that's drawn in all their experiences of life and business, and they've produced MOD, and hopefully it's a brand name, but hopefully, you know, the next couple of years it'll be a name that just rolls off people's tongues, just like a, you know, like a mainstream, what's it, a mainstream bank, but that same kind of level of branding.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting journey that yous are on, and hopefully we can talk to yous on a regular basis and see where you're at with the business.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Mark and Kenneth.
No, thank you very much, Reed. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And as Kenny said, it'd be great to catch up again when it is launched with merchants. That'd be
a good
moment. But for now, thank you very much, Reed. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Bear, Ben and Russell. Tune in next time.